the songs we sang this morning spoke of, and a new generation will take up their place, and they will walk with the Lord. And then we look and we see the new generations standing with us, starting to take their place, for it needs to continue. Because if they don't, and if we don't allow them, it will only be the seats that will be left. Thank God for that. Palm Sunday. Jesus didn't call it Palm Sunday. And they didn't call it Palm Sunday when he rode into Jerusalem. It's often also called Passion Sunday, because I think we get caught up a little bit in the hype of the hosannas. There was no hype and pomp and circumstance necessarily on that day. I think we get it a little wrong, and I'm going to show you that in a second. It's more of Passion Sunday. Because you see, it starts on this day when Jesus comes into Jerusalem like he's done so many other times. This time just a little different. Just a little different. But this is the beginning of the last week of the Lord Jesus' life in this world. Going to lead up to Thursday night, where he washes feet and teaches them and says, I have given you an example that you should follow too, that you should serve one another. It will take us to Dark Friday, when we will nail him to a cross, and the Son of God will die. Also lead us to Sunday in an open grave and a risen one. As Jesus rides into Jerusalem, I think it's the last parable that he tells. But he tells this parable with his life this time. Doesn't tell a little story and we get the story. He lives the parable. Bear with me for a second. So this time, instead of walking into Jerusalem, as he always came with his disciples, he says to them, go ahead, go get a donkey, bring the donkey. Zechariah chapter 9. Look, your Messiah will come to you, and he will ride on a donkey. And he will be humble and gentle. Somehow, he's saying something. But I want you to see what he's really saying with his parable life. When Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the donkey, it's not because he wants to cause this great moment of uproar and people are saying, wow, look at him. He's actually saying, I am now fulfilling the role which I came for. And I come as you have never seen me or you didn't want to see me. Look again. I come humbled. I come gentle. I come as the Son of Man. Because if you remember correctly, maybe it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, I can't remember. Remember I told you that during the Passover feast, which is this time, there would be a huge parade. And this parade was the one that the governor would always do because he wanted to say something. They would start at Caesarea Maritima, Caesarea by the sea, about 60 miles from Jerusalem. And he would get on his horse and get all the soldiers with him. And they'd bring their swords and their spears. And he'd sit on his stallion. And he'd be this big man. And they'd bring the banners that said that Caesar is the Lord and the King. Because they wanted to say something to the people in Jerusalem. Watch your step. Don't step out of line. People had to lie in the streets and they had to bow and say, Caesar is God and Caesar is Lord. They didn't do that. They would show you their might and power. They were also teaching them a little bit of their theology. Caesar is God, and he'll show you that he's God by his might, by his power, by his strength. And he'll kill you if you don't like it. Jesus, creator of heaven and earth, the King of all kings, there is none above him. The Lord of all lords, who made each one of us, is want the strong God. And we want the God who will do our will. Look at God as he comes. He comes into Jerusalem and the hands are empty. Because these hands are hands that need to be able to touch broken lives and will touch broken lives and heal them. These hands are empty because not too long from now, they will be nailed to a cross and they will be broken so that we will be made whole. He comes with a gentle heart because he knows the fears and the brokenness that's in our heart. See, that's why he comes to Jerusalem. He does not come to Jerusalem to bring war. Comes to bring peace. Way beyond the peace of swords and guns. Peace is my maker and my Lord. He does not bring fire. He brings bread. Bread of life. He comes into Jerusalem to change hearts and lives. Show us the heart. That's why he comes on a donkey gently and humbly. Here's my question. I'm going to make it practical. How much of that humble, gentle Lord Jesus do we see in our own lives? As we live in this world every day. At work, at home, in church, wherever I go. Maybe I can ask, which one of the parades have I joined? The one with the stallions, or the one with the gentle Savior on the donkey? Because too often, and forgive me for a little fire and brimstone, which I don't do too often, I think we forget about the donkey Jesus. And we become the Jesus on the stallion horse in our lives. And I want to be front and center. I want to be in the spotlight. And it's all about me. And if it's not about me, then I sulk. Then I get on my horse and I take out my sword and I'm going to cut you down to size because I want it my way. He could have done that. He could have walked into that Jerusalem and he could have wiped them out. And he did. He wept for them. He bled for them. And I think the parable continues because he said the words, and maybe he's just living the words as he rides in on his little donkey. Remember, when they said, Lord, which one of us considered your right hand? Which one of us can be the most important? And Jesus said, in the kingdom of God, everything is upside down. For the first shall be last. And there's a song that we're going to teach you in this church that changes the biblical words, but I love how it changes it. It says, the first shall be last, and the last shall receive it. He got a crown that's a little different from the ones that needed there. Because that's who he is. But am I there, my friends? Am I first? Or am I wearing the crown? For in Luke chapter 14, when they all came to the banquet and they ran for the front seats and they all wanted to be, look at me, he walked up and he said, you might want to find another seat. Because maybe God has this for someone else. Micah 6 says, what does the Lord ask of you? But to do justice, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your heart. He comes on a donkey to be Jesus that is there for broken, hurting, face in the mud, fallen people to change our lives. To invite us to walk with him and to be humble and to be gentle and to be kind. something else. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem, when Jesus comes into our lives, there's always joy. We read, when he came in, and you know I like the Hebrew of this, people said, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and praise in the highest. There's just this joy that comes from people and people's lives the moment when Jesus rides into your life, and it changes us, because you see, this is what Jesus does. Jesus comes, he brings joy even if my life is filled with tears. He can bring the dancing even in my life where there was mourning and struggle. Doesn't mean it all goes away, but it teaches me to live in a new way, because I don't have to face it all alone. When Jesus comes into my life, there's joy because I can see the future even though the world sees the end of the road, because I know it doesn't end with Friday, because it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. When he rides into your life, there is a joy that comes from knowing him in a different way. Are you hurt? Are you struggling? Crying? Are you in need? Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. He comes. He brings the joy. But I need to know him in that way. If I don't know that, I won't understand him, and I won't be able to walk with him. Let me explain. Did you see what happens after this? When these people are so happy to see Jesus, and they're talking about the joy, and the joy in heaven, what happens? The Pharisees come to Jesus. Who are the Pharisees? The religious leaders. Those who know all about religion. And they teach people religion. And what do they say to Jesus? Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Quiet them. Get them under control. And the first little crack that will become a crevice on Friday starts happening. We don't want this. We've got this city exactly the way we like it. Don't come change things around here. This is perfect. Leave it alone. Don't mess with this stuff. We got them all nailed down. We got the mountain. We got the temple. We got God sorted out to the letter. 628 of those, we sorted him out. Don't you go mess with this. We don't have the capacity for this renegade son of God that's coming in here, that's talking about life and joy and happiness and relationship with God. Shut up. And shut them up. Don't change things around here. No wonder Jesus cries. No wonder we need that Jesus cries. Because he realizes, yeah, they got God all sorted out in their way. And he's going to look at all of this. And all that will be left will be rubble and the emptiness of their religion. Because here's the thing. There's a huge difference between religion and faith. Paul never says, show me your religion. He said, show me your faith. He doesn't talk about religion. There's a difference between religion and grace. Because we are not saved because of our religion. We are saved because of grace and God's grace in our lives alone. There's a difference between a thing called religion and having a relationship with the living Son of God that changes everything in my life. The way I think, the way I do, the way I act. See, religion has it all sorted out in little boxes and in systems. It's worthless. It's worthless because it's all about the motions. Religion is all about building monuments. But monuments are empty, and monuments are dead, and monuments have no momentum. Religion is all about our known institutions that we can make the way we want them. But these little institutions have nothing to do with the dynamic movement that Jesus Christ brings when he comes into your heart and into your life and into this world. When Jesus comes, he doesn't want us to be religious. He wants us to get a new life and to be like him. To change our minds, to change our hearts, to change our ways and say, all your will, Lord, take me, use me, do as you want. Here I am. I'm sorry for what I made it. Sorry for making it into religion. It's going to take me nowhere. Break down, Lord, as you did Jerusalem. Break the walls. Break all the stuff. Take it away. If that's keeping us away from you, break it down now, please. Break down the walls and teach me to live in an open and new way with you. Let me end. Did you see Jesus' answer? When they said, shut them up, Jesus says, it's fine. I can tell them to be quiet, but if they are quiet, the rocks will cry out. The rocks did cry. The rocks of Jerusalem fell again. It was all empty. Because it would happen on that Friday when we nailed him to the cross. That's when God left Jerusalem. When he breathed his last breath, look at the parable ending that started on this Palm Sunday. When he breathed his last breath, the curtain in the so-called Holy of Holies, where they had God boxed in, sorted out tears, and God leaves never to come back to them. God is now in the wind, and the wind blows wherever it wants. You cannot put the wind in a box. You cannot put the wind and keep it in a room. For the wind blows and it blows into the lives and into the hearts of people. When that wind blows, you can't help but speak. And people will speak. Even when they said, we are going to stone you, Stephen. And he said, I have seen my Lord, for the wind is blowing for him. When they put Paul and Silas in a jail, they sang, and I will praise the Lord. For when the wind blows, religion disappears, and Christ appears. And your young men and your young women will dream dreams and see visions. And little babies will cry, and you will hear the voice. For somebody's going to praise the Lord. Someone is going to say his name. It's going to be you or me, or it's going to be a rock or a tree, but somebody's going to praise the Lord. For he came to change. Came to make us free from the world and the stuff of the world. Came to break the chains of religion and gave us a relationship.